This morning, we're going to continue our study from the book of Luke on the beginning of the Gospels. And as you've been going through this study, hopefully we've been developing really the ministry that Jesus brought to us. And this morning, we're going to be looking at, for just a few minutes, the disciples of Jesus. And looking at how they became disciples and what that really tells us in our lives and in our hopefully our quest to be disciples of the Lord. Now, the word disciples used two different ways, really, in the New Testament for the disciples of Jesus. We have sort of a large group that were disciples, and this included just about everybody that followed Jesus. The word disciple really just means one that follows after. In the New Testament times, often a teacher like Jesus, his disciples would just walk behind him. And he'd walk out in front. And so the word disciple meant a follower after. The ones that would try to pattern their lives after their teacher. And hopefully that's what we do with Christ. And so the word disciple meant all those that were following Jesus. But it's also used a different way. And it's used for a certain group of men, 12 men that Jesus chose that were his disciples that later would become the apostles. And the word apostles mean those that were sent out with a commission. And Jesus gives them a particular commission. So those are the men, those are the disciples we're going to look at this morning for just a few minutes. What kind of men were these that followed Jesus? Now we know in their lives they will eventually leave everything to follow Jesus, even knowing that leaving everything to follow Jesus was going to be a hard life. Jesus tells Peter, the last time he's with Peter, that he's going to be imprisoned and actually give his life for Christ. Paul, when he was called to be an apostle, God said, I will tell him everything he must suffer for my name. So they didn't follow Jesus because they thought this was going to be a real easy way of life. Why did these men follow Jesus? That's really the story that we receive in the first parts of all the Gospels, is why these men believed Jesus was truly the Christ and why they decided to give their lives to him. But when you take a look at the disciples, look with me at first in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, two of the disciples, are called before the Sanhedrin there in Jerusalem. The Sanhedrin was a ruling class of Jews. It was roughly 70 men. These were older men. They were rich and they were powerful. They were the ones in control of everything that happened there in Jerusalem. And in chapter 4, verse 13, they're called before them because they've been preaching the gospel. And it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now it says they were unschooled, ordinary men. Didn't mean they didn't have any education at all. It means they hadn't gone to the universities of their day. They weren't what we would call the college graduates. They were just ordinary people. They were middle class, men that worked for a living. Most of them were fishermen. We're going to see this morning one was a tax collector. Now, Paul later would be called to be an apostle. He was a schooled. He had gone to the best Jewish schools at that time. But Peter and John had not. They had grown up as fishermen, and as we're going to see this morning, they had grown up just as ordinary people, what we would call that we see. Now look over with me to the Gospel of John, and we see these men for the first time introduced to us. And the first time we see the disciples of Jesus, they're introduced to us as disciples of John the Baptist. And that's what we have in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. But beginning with me reading in verse 35, here these men are following after John the Baptist. The next day John, that's John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John had said and followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, would translate it as Peter or rock. So the first time we see these men, they're following John the Baptist. Now we know, and we're going to find later on, they're fishermen up from Galilee. If you look at a map at this time of Israel, Israel is really almost like two different countries. You have the area around Jerusalem, and that's really, Jerusalem was by far the biggest city. It's where the ruling people, the Sanhedrin, were. And then you have the area up in the very northern part around Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, or also called the Sea of Gennesaret. And it's at the northern part, of roughly about 70, 80 miles north of Jerusalem. And there's not much in between. That in between is Samaria. So you really got the southern part of the kingdom, and you got the northern part. And the northern part up there in Galilee was sort of looked down upon in Jerusalem. In fact, you can see later on that you could tell somebody from Galilee because of the way they spoke. They had that accent. And Galilee was, you know, that's sort of up there in the sticks. And down Jerusalem, that's sort of the main part of the nation as far as the people that lived down there was concerned. Now, most of Jesus' ministry is going to be up in Galilee for most of the time. He comes down to Jerusalem for the feasts and the festivals that they have and then goes back to Galilee. The first time we see him with John, here he is at Jerusalem or in the wilderness outside Jerusalem. And John introduces him truly as the Lamb of God. And we see these two disciples, and then we see Peter. These men came from Galilee down to Jerusalem or that area to study or to be and to hear John the Baptist. So the first time we see the disciples, we see they were men seeking after God. They weren't just men that came to, you know, Jesus just saw for the first time. They were introduced to Jesus because they were disciples of John the Baptist. They were preparing themselves for Jesus. Now look with me back over to Luke in chapter 5. If you remember from last week, we looked at chapter 4. Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth and he's rejected there and he's actually forced to leave. And he goes back to Capernaum, which sort of is where he stays most of the time. He's in Galilee and he begins again teaching there. At the end of chapter 4, he goes to Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law is sick, and Jesus cures her of a great fever. But in going to Simon's house, it appears at this time that Jesus is visiting the disciples, or the men that will become the disciples, that he knows Simon, or Simon Peter, and he visits at his house regularly, it appears. Here. And so in chapter 5, when Jesus meets the disciples again, remember that we first saw Jesus with the disciples back in Jerusalem. We next see Jesus with the disciples when he goes to Simon's home. And now we see Simon when Simon's at work. And look with me at chapter 5 of Luke. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, also the Sea of Galilee, when the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore. He then sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. So when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they all came and filled their boat so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now I want you to look just very quickly at what happens in this short story that we're given. Here, Simon and Peter and James and John, they've been fishing all night there on the lake. Have you ever worked hard doing something all day long? And at the end of the day, you realize what you've done has sort of been wasted and you're going to end up getting to repeat it and do the next day the same thing. That you've wasted all day long working at something. Most of us sometime in our lives have had that feeling. You've worked hard all day long doing something, but it didn't turn out right and you know you're going to get to do it all again the next day. At the end of the day, you're tired, you're worn out. But not only are you physically worn out, but you're even spiritually down because you know you didn't accomplish anything. You get to do it all again the next day. That's where Peter, James, and John, the disciples, were. They had worked hard all night, but they hadn't caught anything. They're going to get to go fishing the next night, and hopefully they'll catch something then. But they're tired. They got their nets out. They're washing them out. They're laying them all out and ready to pack them all up. And Jesus has brought out one of the boats and has talked for we don't know how long, a few minutes or an hour or so. And he comes back to shore and he says, okay, let's go fishing. Can you think about what Peter probably thought about? Peter said, you know, he's thinking, you know, Peter grew up on that lake. We know his father was also a fisherman before him. So Peter, from the time he was probably, he can remember, he's gone fishing on that lake all the time. He knows that lake. This is his home. And Jesus lives over there in Nazareth. Nazareth is a long way from the lake. Jesus knows nothing about fishing. Peter probably says, Jesus, if you told us something about being a carpenter, I'd listen to you. But you know, Jesus, you don't know anything about fishing. This is probably what Peter's thinking. Now, this carpenter wants us to go out there and throw those nets down again. We've just cleaned all the nets. We've washed them. We're all packed up. We're ready to go home. We've worked all night. And now he wants us to go fishing again. All that's probably going through Peter's mind, isn't it? But look what Peter says. He says, Jesus, we've worked hard all night, but because you ask us to. And he said, Master, we will. And they go out and they throw those nets down one more time and they catch more fish than they've probably ever seen. It says they were astonished. Now, it takes a lot to make a fisherman astonished. They can tell good fish stories without being astonished. But here, these men that have been fishing all their lives, they've never seen such a catch like this. They were astonished. Their nets were breaking. They bring them all on the boat and the boat's about to sink to so many fish. And Peter falls at Jesus' feet. And he says, Jesus, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Now, you know that Peter was not a sinful man, as the way we would judge sin. He was a man that had left his boats earlier and gone down to hear John the Baptist preach. This was a man that was seeking after God. And yet, he stands at Jesus' feet and says, Jesus, I'm a sinful man. We see Peter's heart as much here as we do any other time. He was a humble man. Before the Lord. We see he was a decisive man, which is the one that falls at Jesus' feet. It was Peter. Now we know that James and John were also there, but it's Peter that stands at Jesus' feet and says, I'm a sinful man. We see that he was a disciple of John. He was a follower after seeking the Lord. He was a man that was humble in heart. And notice what Jesus says to him. He says, do not fear. I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you what you can be. Look with me now very quickly over to the end of the chapter of chapter 5 of Luke. And we see Jesus calling another person. Here he calls Levi. Listen what he says when he calls Levi. After this, Jesus went and saw a tax collector, a man, the name of Levi, sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus in his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others eating with them. And when the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Ever look at that last sentence? I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What do we think about the church? Who's the church for? A lot of times we're the church is for those really good people, you know, the church-going people. Jesus says, church is not for those good people. It's for those people that know they need Jesus. The people that have that humble heart. The humble heart that we saw that Peter had. The one that knew that he was a sinner and knew that he needed the Lord. Very quickly, look over to Micah chapter 6, a passage we've looked at before. In Micah chapter 6, listen what the writer says. Why shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And that's the idea that we have throughout the Scriptures, that the Lord esteems or honors those who walk humbly before Him. If you look back to Isaiah, our scripture reading this morning, look again at what Isaiah says. In chapter 66, beginning verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Some translation is, it actually says, I created all these things, heaven and earth. Where are you going to give me that I need? Where is the house you're going to build for me? Where is my resting place? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being. This is the one I esteem, or this is the one I will honor. He who is humble and contrite in spirit. I'd like for you to think with me just a few minutes about that last word that he brings out. The word contrite. Ever think about what that word means? A contrite heart. We know it means being sorrowful, repentant, is some of the synonyms for it. It's when you've done something or you said something to somebody and you go to them and you say, you know, I'm really sorry for what I said or what I did, and if you just forgive me, I'll never do it again. Most of us at some time in our lives have been that way. We've been remorseful or contrite in spirit. But the word contrite, the literal meaning of it, comes from the idea of broken down or worn out or even broken up, broken down. Have you ever been just worn out or broken down? Ever had your spirit just broken down? There's twice in the Scriptures we see Peter worn out or broken down. The one that we just read in chapter 5, he was worn out. He had fished all day long and hadn't caught anything. He had gotten his nets out, he had washed the nets, put the nets back up, and now this Jesus wants him to go back out and fish again. Peter was worn out physically at that time. There's another time that we see Peter. He's not just worn out, but he's actually broken down or just ground up. Ever felt like your life was you just ground up sometimes? Things just overwhelmed you, and you just felt ground up inside? That's what we see. If you look over to Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus is with his disciples for the last time. He's meeting what we call the Last Supper, and he knows that in about an hour or so, he's going to be arrested, he's going to go on trial, and he's going to be crucified. And he's getting his disciples ready for that. He's telling them what's going to happen. And look over what he says to Peter in chapter 22, and verse 31. Notice, too, and just a little thing here, that he calls Peter Simon. He doesn't call him Peter, which means the rock. He just uses his regular name. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fall or fail. And when you have turned back, you will strengthen your brothers. Now Peter goes on and says, Jesus, everybody else leads you, I won't. But Jesus says, oh, yes, you will, and before the rooster crows, before the sun comes up, you're going to deny me three times. Look over the end of chapter 22. And this comes about just like Jesus says. Peter has denied Jesus. He denies even knowing him. And listen what he says at the end of chapter 22. I'll pick up in verse 57. In verse 57, he said, he denied it, denied even knowing Jesus. He says, woman, I don't know him. A little later, someone else saw him and he said, you're one of them. Man, I'm not, Peter replied. And about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was, for he's a Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Now look at verse 61. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered what the Lord had spoken to him. and the rooster crows today, you would deny me three times. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. At this time, Peter's not just worn out physically, but his very spirit has been broken down. He's failed his Lord. And at this time, remember what Jesus said to him before this even happens? Jesus says, when you have come back, strengthen my brothers. Jesus knew that Peter would come back. Jesus reaches out to us when we're worn out, when we're broken down, when our very spirit's been crushed. That's when Jesus reaches out to us. Remember the words that Jesus gave to Peter when he first calls him? Go back to chapter 5 and look at what Jesus says to Peter. Peter's just come to him and said, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Don't be afraid. I will show you what you can be. And that's what Peter does. That's what Jesus does with Peter. In the end of the Gospel of John, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus goes to Peter and he brings Peter back and he shows Peter, you can be the shepherd of my people. Jesus reaches out to us when we're worn out, when we're all broken down, when our very spirit's been crushed, just as Peter was. That's when Jesus reaches out to each and every one of us. And he says, come follow me, and I will make you what you can be. That's the cry that Peter heard from our Lord and our Savior. Last week, we looked at John chapter 1. If you remember, in John chapter 1, verse 11, remember that verse? It goes something like this. He, that is Jesus, came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. We looked at Jesus being rejected by his own people. But now look at the very next verse. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. Children not born of a natural descent, nor a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. That promise is still for each one of us today. And that's what Jesus reaches out for us. If we look at the disciples, if we start thinking about our lives compared to them, they had been seeking Jesus before they even met him. They had first become disciples of John the Baptist. We need to think about, are we preparing our lives for that which Jesus has in mind for us? We see the humble heart that Peter had. We need to recognize our need for the Lord. Remember where Jesus came? I came not for the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Those who know they need me. And just as Peter let down his nets after he had worked all night long and was ready to go home, we need to be obedient to our Lord and our Savior. He has his plans for us. He has our work all laid out for us. But we need to be obedient to him. This morning, think about your life. There are times in our lives we will be worn out. We will be broken down. We need the Lord in those times. And if we're one of his disciples, one of his followers, Jesus is always there telling us, come, follow me. I will make you what you can be. I will give you the type of life, the abundant life, the true life for those who follow after me. Are you a follower of Jesus this morning? Have you come to him and based your life on him? Have you been baptized into his name, taking on his name, taking on his way of life, separate from this world and walking after him? Or perhaps you've already been baptized and you started that walk, but you really haven't been faithful to him. Why not be faithful to him this morning? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.